Well, good morning, everybody. The psalm at every Mass replies to the first reading. You know, that's why we call it the responsorial psalm. It responds to the first reading. And so today we had that first reading. Here, God had saved our ancestors from slavery. He had given them a very wonderful holy guide named Moses. He had given them many wonderful companions along the way. He had sent down manna from heaven. He had promised them a destination. He had promised them the promised land. And here they are, complaining. They're grumbling. They're quarreling. Look at these verbs. Testing. They're about to throw stones at poor Moses. How could we blame them? It was a long time that they were struggling there. But the responsorial psalm is, don't harden your hearts. God, you may have it difficult, but God is so good. He is so good, and his promises are true. And he gives us what we need to get through the hard, through the difficult. He is there. Don't harden your hearts. Did you know we priests and religious, but the whole church, there's a beautiful, it's the second highest form of prayer after the Holy Mass. It's called the Liturgy of the Hours. We priests pray it five times a day. There's office of readings, morning prayer, midday prayer, evening prayer, night prayer. The first piece, though, that you do before anything is called the invitatory, where you invite the Lord in, and it's Psalm 95 every day. Every day in my morning holy hour, I say, Lord, don't let my heart be hardened. And boy, is that a good prayer. When I was ordained a deacon, Cardinal Tobin, he said, pray every day for a soft and generous heart. And that's on my list of things that I pray for every day, for a soft and generous heart. I give that advice to everyone. Because if our hearts, if we aren't careful, our hearts get very hardened and stubborn. They don't bend. They're not flexible. And they complain. They grumble. They test. They quarrel. They doubt. But if we say, Lord, give me a soft, generous heart. And the woman here, the Samaritan woman, is a good example for us. Because here she is going through her day-to-day life. She's going to the well to get a drink, to fill up her jug. And she allows her heart to be pierced by Jesus. She allows her heart to enter into a dialogue with our Lord Jesus. And in that, she offers us an important example. And the Lord was sitting there waiting for her. He knew she would be coming. He knew, and it was at noon. We pray the Angelus at noon every day. Lord, you are here. Jesus, you are here. And he's sitting there waiting. He knows that she's going to come at noon. Because why would she come at noon? It's the hottest time of the day. Because nobody else would be there to call her names, adulteress, all of those sorts of things, to throw stones at her, to judge her. She had had a hard life. She'd sinned a lot. But she'd had a lot of difficult things happen to her. Perhaps we could sympathize. And she sees him there, and she goes into this heart-to-heart with Jesus. Her heart wasn't grumbling, complaining, bitter, all those things. It wasn't hardened. And she enters into this conversation with our Lord. Now, what I want us to realize, several of our members of the elect are present here, and we're going to have the first scrutiny today. And it's very beautiful. They're no longer called catechumens. They're now called the elect because last weekend they were received at the cathedral by the archbishop. The elect today are coming into, preparing to enter into this life with God. The well is ultimately a symbol, said St. Augustine and St. John Chrysostom, of baptismal font. The well in this parable, this gospel, is a symbol of the baptismal font, where life with Jesus, in Jesus, for Jesus begins. And you have to understand, in the Old Testament, the well was a place where marriages began. Moses, remember his wife Zipporah? I always want to baptize a Zipporah. If you ever have a daughter and you're looking for a name, Zipporah would be a good one. But anyways, Moses and Zipporah, they get engaged at a well. Jacob and Rachel engaged at a well. Isaac and Rebecca engaged at a well. The well was a trysting place. And so when the onlookers saw Jesus having this intimate conversation, this heart-to-heart with this adulterous, sinful woman, they're going, what does he want with her? And you know what he wanted with her was marriage. The ultimate marriage that all of us in this church are called to is the marriage between God and man. Every sacramental marriage between man and wife is meant to be an icon of that ultimate marriage. But you see, this is why Jesus says there's no husband-wife marriage in heaven, because the ultimate marriage is God and man. We priests and religious, by means of our celibacy, enter into that union, even here on earth. And I'm here to tell you, God is enough. God is enough. I'm more than happy. But what we have going on here is this Samaritan woman and Jesus. And Jesus is the ultimate bridegroom. In Hosea chapter 2, verse 19, God says, I will betroth myself to my people forever. Isaiah talks about this. The Song of Songs is a love song between God, written between for him and us. That this ultimate union between God and man, which begins at the baptismal font, where the person is inserted into Jesus, and Jesus is inserted into them, that this marriage without it, which is why Jesus, and it's consummated every time at Holy Mass, where we receive Holy Communion, and the God of the whole universe enters the human soul. And that's why Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have life. You will have not eternal life. Because without this marriage, without the human person being united to he who is the life, he who is the resurrection, he who is the way, he who is the truth, without it, we don't have even the possibility of eternal life. We, without Jesus, he's the only way, don't you see? He ain't going to give us the way. He is the way. And the members of the elect today are coming to the baptismal font. They're coming to the well, just like this woman. And perhaps you, like all of us, can sympathize. This woman had been married 5 times. None of you have been married 5 times. But maybe we've been married to our money, married to our work. Maybe we've been married to some sport, some cell phone, some food. We get married to all these things and we give ourselves over to them, but they don't satisfy. And this poor woman, she's trying her whole life to find some sort of fulfillment, and Jesus is there. It's the living water in this font, in this baptismal font. This is the living water by which you will have life to the full here and hereafter. It's the most incredible thing, our faith. And don't you see, as thirsty as she was, As thirsty as every human being, G.K. Chesterton said, even the man in the brothel is looking for love. He's looking in the complete wrong place, but he's looking for it. But all of us are thirsting, whether we know it or not, for God, for Jesus, who comes to betroth himself to us. We're so thirsty for meaning, for fulfillment, for all of these things that only Jesus can do. But don't you see, he says to her, give me a drink. He is thirsting for her. And sometimes we might go, oh my gosh, I'm such a sinner. What could the God of the universe possibly want with me, a wretch like me? You know what he wants with you? Marriage. The gospel can be summarized with these words. Jesus wants to marry you. My friends, it's the most wonderful thing. We pray for our elect. We will pray over you now as you make one closer step to the well, to the baptismal font, where you will have living water. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.